take your Bibles, turn to the book of John, chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. John, chapter 9, we'll read verses 1 through 7 together. We'll read this passage responsively. And Jesus passed by, he saw a blind man, a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And let's read verse 7 together also. Ready? And he said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you've done for us. Thank you for this great place. It's obvious that the Holy Spirit's presence is here. Now, Lord, we're a needy people. There are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hearts that need a touch from heaven today personally. There are souls that are in danger of hell this morning. Please reach down through the lips of our preacher and touch those hearts and those souls, please. Use our preacher in a special way, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
This morning, I am going to add another sermon to a series that I've been doing on Wednesday night. I've been talking about money on Wednesday night. This morning, I will mention that very topic again, but not probably in the same way you would think. The Wednesday night sermons we've been having here at our church are to help our people. If folks have made a mess of one thing in their lives in America today, is their handling of their money. I have taught all 6 or 7 lessons on the subject. One week we talked about thou shalt not steal. Another week we talked about the fact that all our increase comes from the Lord. I make that statement often when we take offerings here. All that God gives you, or all that you have, was given to you by God. And we had a whole lesson about it. Then we had 2 weeks in a row where we talked about the subject of thou shalt not covet. That's why you're in such deep debt, because we have bypassed that Ten Commandment of not coveting, and our desires get out of control, and before long, having broken that Ten Commandment, we have financial dilemma in our life. We had a lesson called Thou Shalt Have No Other Gods. God was afraid that people would actually set money up as the decision maker in their life, rather than letting God be the decision maker in their life. We taught a lesson called Thou Shalt Not Kill. You say, what's that have to do with finances? You get the tape and you could listen to it, but I'll guarantee you it had a lot to do with finances. I taught a lesson last week, maybe the most important one yet, on the making of money versus the more important matters of life. Today, another lesson. When I teach a series on Wednesday night, every once in a while I pull a couple of them into a Sunday morning. There are some that work on Wednesday night, others that just won't come back to church on Wednesday night. But I feel it's so important that we learn some of this. You know, this morning, this is about finances. If you'll listen to me carefully, I'm going to give you one of the keys about handling finances, or one of the keys to this subject. You know, it's God's plan that we work for our money. That's God's plan. Work is a four-letter word, but it's not a dirty four-letter word. It's a clean four-letter word. If you have a job today, God gave you that job. That is, if it's not a job at a bar or at a casino or producing pornography, God doesn't give those kinds of jobs. You would be out of, if you're a born-again Christian and you're working one of those jobs, you would be out of God's will in regard to a job, because God would not give a good Christian a bad job like that, doing things that are against the Bible. But if you have a job today outside what I just explained, then that job was given to you by God. God has provided you with work. God not only provides us with work, He provides us with the wherewithal to do that work. Now, there's not a lack of work in America, just so you know. There is not a lack of work in America. I grabbed the newspapers this morning off the shelf at the store, And here I have the journal, and we just very quickly race through here. Now, you understand that all the jobs available in America are not printed in a newspaper. This is just a smidgen of what's available. In the journal, they're looking for 128 different people to fill positions. And here is the Herald, which is for up in, and this reaches Maryland, Pennsylvania, West Virginia. There were 343 open job positions. Here's the Washington Post. There are 550 different job opportunities available. And that is just a touch of what's out there. You see, there is not a lack of work in America. There's a lack of the work ethic in America. There's a lack of people wanting to work. There's a lack of people that have a desire to work. There's a lack of real workers and hard workers. But there is not a lack of employment opportunity in America. See, the biggest problem with our national economy is not caused by the Republicans, nor is it caused by the Democrats. It's caused by the workforce. We've become lazy. We don't want to work anymore. And laziness is a sin, not a sickness. You say, why do you say that? Because now they're trying to make drunkenness a sickness instead of a sin. Now, they'll take someone that is doing drugs, which is against the Bible, they'll turn it into a sickness instead of letting it be what the Bible says it is, a sin. So I'll promise you, there's coming a day when they're going to say, unemployment is a sickness. You laugh, but you watch. They do it with everything else. Unemployment is due to laziness in most every case. And you're, somebody's bound to be mad at me for this sermon today, but what's another one? What's the difference? I wrote a book on the subject of character, and within its pages there were there's a lesson that it will be somewhat equal to what I'll preach to you this morning. I was preaching in Boomer, West Virginia, and a man from the Union Carbide Corporation was present. I was talking about the work ethic. He'd picked up a copy of my book on character. He came to certain pages in it, and he asked me this. He said, "Would you allow me to take the tape of that sermon? I'd like to mass produce it and distribute it to all the people at the Union Carbide Corporation, because it has in it the exact principles that as a corporate executive, I would like the men to learn. They need to learn the old-fashioned work ethic." And he did, and I was glad that he did. Now, I want you to listen to me today. If you have duties around the church, whether they're volunteer or you're hired around the church, I want you to listen carefully. I want housewives to listen to me today. Somehow, we get this idea, if a lady's a housewife, that means she gets up in the morning, eats potato chips all day long, and she just kicks back and relaxes. Now, that is not what God had in mind. God intended a housewife to get up in the morning and work all day long and be tired at the end of the day, just like everybody else, but she does it at home. If you're an employer, you listen today. If you're an employee, whether it's church or secular, teenagers and children, you listen to me today, and I'll tell you what America was really built on. You're living in a country that was built by a work ethic from the past generation. And if we don't regain that ethic, if we don't get our composure back, this country will go down the tubes with all of our, I want to work less and I want more money. I want more personal prosperity, but if it costs my boss everything to give it to me, it does not matter to me. If we're not careful, folks, we're going to drive all the employers out of business because we don't do our part. In John chapter 9, we read a little passage of Scripture there, and it's the story of Jesus and a blind man. Matter of fact, in John 9:4, this is what Jesus says, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." Brother Brad, I'm going to turn this thing on. And in this passage, you can turn me down just a little bit on this mic. It says, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." Notice in that verse, the word work is used three different times. Work, work, work. Now, therein is the secret to some of you clearing up your financial problems. It's just by an old-fashioned thing called work. In this story, Jesus meets a blind man, and that man is on the roadside. His disciples ask this question. His disciples said to Jesus, "Did this man sin? Did it cause his blindness? Or did his parents sin cause his blindness? Jesus' answer was, neither. Neither did this man sin cause his blindness, or his parents sin cause his blindness. Jesus said, he is blind so that the works of God may be made manifest. In other words, Jesus was saying, God has some work that he wants done, and I get the privilege of doing that work today. It's not because of the man's sin or his parents' sin. He said, God sent me here. I am to do a work while I'm here on this earth. This man is blind, so I can do what I've been sent to do. And then Jesus, and in a sense, Jesus is saying, this is a part of my job description. It's a part of my responsibility. I am to work the work of God. And he is. It's almost as if Jesus is saying, God is the employer, I am the employer, and I am about to do my job. The Bible says that Jesus spat on the ground. He made some mud out of that spittle and the dirt in the ground. He rubbed that onto the eyes of the blind man, and the blind man's sight was restored. What happened? Jesus worked the works of God. You see, Jesus was a worker. He worked perfectly. He did what he was supposed to do. You know, I think the Bible even gives us guidelines about how we're supposed to work. I think God wants us to work a certain way. I think the Bible teaches us how to work. Now, we're not going to talk about the money that you carry around in your pocket today, but I'm going to talk to you about how some of you could straighten up some of your financial problems. I'll teach some of you today how you don't have to have financial problems in your future if you'll just do the things that God rewards. You say, what does God reward? Work. 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 Man was not made to play all the time. We have more nervous breakdowns today than ever before in the history of mankind, and we play more today than ever. Work will help keep you steady. Work will help keep you sane. We need to learn to work. Oh, I've had many different job opportunities and kinds of employment in my day. When I was a young man, my granddad was a mason. He laid brick. And boy, you talk about hard work. And I worked with him, and we moved stone, and I always was the one. I always had to mix the cement. He would give me a hoe, and he would put some water and some sand and some cement, and we didn't buy the ready mix. We bought the kind where you had to get it just right, and it had to be so smooth. And I don't know why my grandpa never bought an automatic mixer until I stopped working with him. I should have seen it coming. I should have known what was going on there. But I mixed that cement, and we carried stone and laid stone. I was glad that I learned that when I was a boy. I remember mowing yards as a boy, and again we had a couple acres, and Dad never got a ride mower until us boys left home. Again, I never noticed it. It never occurred to me. The only better thing would have been to cut my sisters loose in the field so they could graze. But we mowed those yards. And by the way, Brother Butch, I didn't mow yards. I groomed them. My dad taught me you just don't mow a yard. You groom it. You make it look nice. You do it right. Then I got a job at Tipple's Ace Hardware. Ace is the place of the helpful hardware man, and you're looking at an ex-ace man right here. I'm the helpful hardware man, and for a while when I was a teenage boy, I worked at Ace Hardware. I was a stock boy. Then, right out of high school, I got a job at a place called Glass Equipment Engineering. Later on, it was called Life Manufacturing, but I worked in the glass industry, and we made molds. I was a machinist. I ran lathes and mills, and I remember that job very, very well. Started out on a drill press and then learned all the other machinery. I was given chores at home. Young people, chores at home, that's where you work at home. Back when young people still had integrity, and they were not all, hey, young people today have so much time on their hands, that's why they're pumping out illegitimate babies so fast. You get a young person tired, you work them, you put them back on a farm and let them bale hay, they won't have time to crank out an illegitimate child at the end of the day. They'll be too tired. But we just think you're supposed to keep giving them toys, let them play, let them play, let them play, let them play, let them play. Yeah, and then they play house too much, and that's one of the morality problems in America today. You're not going to believe this. When I worked and did my chores around the house, I did not get an allowance.
I was dumb enough, Brother Jones, one day to ask my daddy about this allowance thing. Now, I'm not against it if you give your child an allowance. I'm just going to tell you how I was raised. I went to my dad one day, and I said, Dad, Bill Wallace gets an allowance. My dad said, your name Bill? No, sir. Your last name Wallace? No, sir. His dad said, you live here? I said, yes, sir. You eat here? I said, yes, sir. He said, you sleep here? Yes, sir. Your name Wallace? No, sir. You want to go live with them? No, sir. You don't work around here because you eat here, you sleep here, you live here, and you need to pitch in and help out. Wouldn't hurt some parents to require something of their children again? We live in a spoiled generation. Hey, listen, and by the way, if you're a man and you're forced to work and you have to miss Wednesday night church, I understand that. But let me tell you all something. Some of you are making a terrible mistake by having your teenagers work through church services. They do not have a family to support. They need the activities. They need the preaching. They need the grooming. There's still work that they could do, but you're going to make a mistake if you're not careful. I worked at a place called Task Force Tips. We made firefighting equipment. I worked at the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Hiles Anderson College, Hammond Baptist Junior High School, here at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. I had an adult Sunday school class, and a bunch of my men got on fire for God. They were working at a place called Rayco Steel. And these men got so fired up for God, they started doing Bible studies at their lunch breaks at work. And they invited me to come. We would all meet on the dock. They'd get their Bibles out. They'd invite them in. And they would have a little Bible study. Well, they invited me to come and preach. And so I went. And there were about 20 men. They were sitting on skids and trash cans and had their steel-toed shoes on. And they were all filthy from head to toe. And they all brought their lunchbox out there, and I would get 30 minutes or so to preach to them. Well, this particular night, I showed up, and one of the bosses came, one of the owners came, and a bunch of men showed up, and I preached a sermon. I'm about to preach that sermon to you right this second. I want to talk to you about how you could be a success out there in your job, and you ought to want to be a success, which means one of the first things you need to do is get a job. You need to get a job. If you are able-bodied and you're on welfare, you are a dishonest person. You say, I don't like that. It doesn't matter what you like. It's the truth. There's a bunch of hard-working people across this country that are paying welfare benefits to a bunch of lazy people. They just want to sit around. You need to get a job. Get a job. Now, some of you are a little shocked about how honest I am. This is just the introduction, okay? We're just getting started here. But if you want to be a success for God in this world, you're going to have to learn how to work. So what do? It's an easy outline. You won't forget it quickly. You got to get up. You got to get up. You got to get up in the morning. The Bible says in Proverbs 6:9, how long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? If you don't get up in the morning, you can't show up to work. And if you don't show up to work, you can't get any money. If you don't get any money, you can't pay your bills. So I'd recommend that everybody here just get up. Get up in the morning. You're supposed to get up in the morning. You know, turning the alarm off and going back to bed will be a bad habit if you're not careful. I think one of the greatest enemies to good work ethic is a thing called the snooze button. It's an amazing thing, though. Have you ever noticed you get the best sleep after the snooze? And I think that's because you woke up, realized you were enjoying that sleep so much, you wanted to go back and get a little more. You know what's bad about sleep? You don't realize what's happening to you when it's happening. Wouldn't it be great if it were like food? You could taste sleep? But you don't. Well, I'll tell you something. We just need to get up. Yeah, get up early enough to prepare for your day. Get up and get your body alert. Get up and get your mind alert. If you want to be good at work, you get up early enough to make sure you're ready to go to work. This business of people come in to work half-dressed, hair matted, they're not ready for work. You're supposed to get up and get ready to go to work. Don't walk into church with your Spider-Man PJs on. Get yourself dressed and get ready to go. Your mind should not be half asleep when you go to work. You ought to be awake. You know, in Jonah 1:6, the Bible says that there is a lost man. Jonah went to the bottom of a ship. He was a backslidden preacher. He goes to the bottom of a ship to hide, and the lost shipmaster comes down and calls Jonah the sleeper. He actually says, "Oh, sleeper, how long will you sleep here? How would you like to get the nickname as the sleeper? The sleeper." If you want to be a success, young people, if you want to be a success in this life, get up in the morning. Get yourself up. So, you want to be a success? Some of you want to straighten out your finances? Get up. You got to get up. Number two, you got to show up. You got to show up. You got to show up at work. Ecclesiastes 3:17 says, "For there is a time there for every purpose and for every work." You ought to show up at work. And let me explain something to you. You're supposed to be on time. On time. That means for some of you, you're going to have to get up a little bit earlier. Some of you do this thing. You have driven from your house to work, and if you get all the green lights, it takes you 17 minutes and 37 seconds to get to work. And you've just got it all charted out. You know, it wouldn't hurt for you to be there a couple minutes early. You might want to factor in a few red lights along the way. You might even want to get there early enough for the people that work before you to maybe prepare you to do your work of the day. We're lazy. We're lazy, we're late, we don't believe in promptness anymore. You're to be on time. You're not to be 15 minutes late. You're not to be 15 seconds late. You're to leave in plenty of time to be on time. You know what's sad? Parents used to teach this to their kids. They do not anymore. They can't because they don't practice it. You're to be on time. Show up a few minutes early and get ready to be a success. I was going to Hiles Anderson College. I worked at a place called Task Force Innovation Tips. The drive was approximately 30 minutes from my house to work. I always went into work early enough to make sure that I got lined out for the day so I could be a success and I could earn my living honestly. Well, I took off. Well, we got to shooting up Highway 65 and all of a sudden something started flopping on the car and I had a flat tire. Oh, I could not believe it. And I was 25 miles away from work. I had a flat tire. I thought, I've got enough time. I always leave enough time for an emergency because I'm not an excuse maker. I'm a solution man. I'm not looking for excuses. I'm looking to do what I'm supposed to do. So I jumped out, Brother Aaron. I ran around. I unlocked the trunk, popped that thing up, pulled out the spare tire, went to grab the jack. And remember, the kids had been jacking up part of the porch with the jack, and there was no jack in the car. Oh, I could not believe it. I was so mad I'd cuss like Brother Bush does. No, I wouldn't do it that bad. Maybe like Brother Dewan does. So I couldn't believe it. I looked everywhere. You know how every once in a while the kids will get into something and play with it and not put it back like every time. But I looked up, oh no, about 4 miles up the road was a car dealership. The only thing I knew to do was to go get me a jack. I took off running. I ran as hard as I could. I ran until I hurt. I walked in. I said, I need to borrow a jack. They lent me a jack, and I said, my car's right down there. Can somebody give me a ride? And the man said, probably in about 15 minutes. Well, in 15 minutes, I could be four miles. I am not going to wait 15 minutes. I've got to get to work. The time is flying. I've got to get there. So I ran back, jacked the car up, put the wheel on, put the jack back away, drove to work. I was 1 minute late, walked into my boss's office and said, "Sir, that'll never happen again. I am so sorry that I am late. I was late one time in 4 years of being employed there." You say, "What's the big deal? It's called being prompt." And America used to have that kind of integrity. America used to care about being on time. I'm talking to you about your finances now. We're not like that much anymore, but we're supposed to be. Hey, could your children get a job where you currently work based on your promptness? If that were the only issue, was your being on time, could your kids walk in and say, just look at my parents' promptness and hire me or don't hire me based on whether I'm on time or not? Hey, listen, you're supposed to show up at work and show up on time. Don't take off work every chance you get if you want to straighten out your finances. Well, you can't pay your bills anyway, and every chance you get, you take off work. Well, you're supposed to go into work. That's why they gave you the job. Hey, and don't lie about sickness and take sick days when you're not sick. That's called lying. Christians are not supposed to lie. Brother Ord, one of our good men, and I were talking. We had a little picnic for a bunch of the teenagers. Maybe it's my daughter's birthday party, and a bunch of the young people were out at our house, and Brother and Mrs. Ord were helping, and Brother Ord and I were on the back porch drinking a beer, and we weren't drinking a beer. But Brother Ord and I were on the back porch, and as we were out there talking, Brother Ord was talking about the job that he had before he retired. I was amazed. I sat there in admiration and respect for the man as he said to me, "I worked the last place I worked 34 years and took less than 5 sick days in 34 years, and it's a man like that and it's work like that that built this country. Everybody wants more time off, more money, let's play. I've got to have more vacation, and we're in a bigger financial mess in America than ever before. Everybody's having nervous breakdowns. You think that it's play that makes for success, but it is work that makes for success. So you better get up and you better show up. I'll give you something else. Might be good for some of you to hurry up and work. Colossians 3:23 says, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord, and not unto men." I've said this before and I'll say it again. There should be no lost person where you work, born again Christian, that outworks you. Save people how to work hard. Listen, let me tell you how to win the people to Christ that you work with. You won't win them to Christ just because you talk about Jesus. You show them what God is doing in your life. You let them see Jesus Christ in you. You let them see you be a hard worker. You let them see you tell the truth. You let them see you be what you're supposed to be rather than talk about what you're supposed to talk about, and you'll get some people saved. But when you're a lazy scoundrel, the lost people, they don't need what you have. They've already got it. You've got to be a hard worker. Some of you need to learn to hurry up. You need to look for ways to be productive at work. You're not going to believe it. That's why they hired you. You're to produce. You're to get something done. You know, you must be mixed up. You thought they had a bunch of extra money laying around and had to find somebody to give it to, and you were a likely candidate, so they let you come in, be lazy, do what you want, show up late, and they just give you $2. You somehow think the United States of America owes you a living, and that is not true. The Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. I could fix a lot of the problems with welfare in about 24 hours, baby. If we just go back to what the Bible teaches and get some people back out there working hard, then we could fix her up real quick. Oh, we need to hurry up and go to work. I remember when I went to work in a machine shop, they gave me a lathe that's for cutting steel. And it was an automatic lathe. It was really simple. Now, the first ones I started running, you had to stand right there and flip switches and knobs and set feed rates. But this, it was what they called a DNC. That's data numerical controlled. I pushed a button and it did all the work. I stand there and I push this button and it runs apart for about 3 minutes. I'm about to go stir crazy. 3 minutes with nothing to do? What in the world would a man want to waste 3 minutes? Every part on. My goodness. I'm going to do it. I went to the boss. I said, "There's another machine right here beside me. I can push 2 buttons in 3 minutes. He said, "That's funny. The other men in the shop can't seem to figure out how to push 2 buttons in 3 minutes. Then my part would come off, and I would go over and I would use another sanding machine. I'd sand that part, go over, push a button, and when the part would come off the second machine, I got another sanding machine, and I sanded the burr off of that. So I'd push a button, sand the part, push a button, sand the part. You know what? I said, "You got 3 of these machines around here?" It seemed to me like I could push 3 buttons in 3 minutes. I think I could do that. So they gave me another one, and they gave me another deburring machine, and this is what I did all night. You're going to think I'm dancing. I'm not. I push a button, the burr apart, 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 push a button, the burr apart. And I seemed, for some reason, Brother Joe, I moved up in the company. They thought I had a big enough brain to do more than what the average guy wanted to do. They wanted to pay me money, Brother Dwayne. Lots of it. Why? Because I wasn't an idiot that was lazy that would stand around and say, "One button, 3 minutes." I need more benefits. I'm worth more than this. Most of America is overpaid. Hurry up! Boy, it is quiet in here. Hurry up! Go to work! Work hard! Work hard! Oh, I tell you, the gray hairs like this kind of preaching. I look out there and they're shaking their heads. They understand. This is what built America. You're to work. I've learned something. Producers always have jobs. Producers always have jobs. You say producer? Yeah, that's right. It works hard. Hey, if you flip hamburgers, you flip all the hamburgers, you can do it. If you move boxes, you move all the boxes you can move. If you type words, you type all the words you can move. And a big employer was talking to a newspaper reporter. Newspaper reporter said to this big employer, said, how many people, during an interview, how many people work in this shop? And the employer scratched his head and said, oh, about half of them. America's laziness is going to destroy America's economy. If you work in an office somewhere, you ought to be a hard worker and don't be lazy. It used to be that you got coffee breaks. Now it's an entire break. All right, so I tell you what we need. I need a bunch of ladies that work in offices come watch Mrs. Linda Costa work. Tireless worker. Sun up to sundown. Doesn't come into office with 30 seconds and standing just waiting to race in there and don't want to give any more time than what we have to. Show up 30 seconds before the bell, run in there, not even be entirely dressed or ready to work and expect to be a success. We have lost our work ethic in America. So what do we need to do? We need to hurry up. You give your boss a high quality employee. That's what they deserve. So what do? I'm making it simple. You get up. Then you show up. Then you hurry up. This is going to help you. Some of you need to shut up. Yeah, you need to shut up. Listen to this. Proverbs 14:23. In all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. The word penury is a minimal amount of pay. It'd be like a penny. Because we talk too much, we don't profit in our labors. People talk too much at work. Now, I just happen to be a supervisor long enough to know what it's like. And everybody in here that is an employer, you're thinking right now, I wish everybody that works for me were here this morning. You're all sitting there thinking, I'm going to get this tape. I've got some people that need to hear this, but let me tell you something. I was constantly, as an employer, or constantly, as a supervisor, trying to get people to be quiet and work. If you were not hired to talk, you need to be quiet and go to work. Now, Miss Weibel, talk. She talks for a living. God knows a woman in heaven. She talks for a living. Don't stop talking, Miss Weibel. Work hard. But for those of you who are hired to labor, you aren't hired to talk. You're not getting paid by the word, but you're busy. The boss should not have to correct you about talking all the time. Hey, let me tell you something else that'll help you. You want to be a success? You want to move up? You want to be successful financially? Then don't talk negatively about your boss. Picture this. You talk bad about the guy who gives you raises. Now you're a knucklehead. You think, well, it's true. Now, you know, even if it's true, he still gives the raises. Now, that's what the Bible's teaching here. We talk too much. Talk about wrong things. You talk bad about the shop rules. Well, I don't like this. I don't like that. Let me tell you my opinion of that is. My opinion is, if you're so brilliant, if you are so smart, how about you quit your job, you go scrape up about $1 million, build you a building, pave you a parking lot, get you some trucks, hire you some employees, and show us how it's done. Until then, go to work, shut your mouth, and work hard. Picture that. Well, I have my rights. I want what I deserve. Then you go straight to hell if you got what you deserve. Well, we need to shut up. Listen, folks, don't talk bad about the other employees. Just go to work and do your work. All you do is cause chaos. You don't realize how much of your bad-mouthing everybody else is costing you financially. You say, well, I've got a union to protect me. Oh, well, that's beautiful. So you can be a bad Christian and you think the union can protect you from God's principles? You think the union's more powerful than God, and God said, if you misuse your mouth when you're supposed to be working, He's going to get your finances for doing it. Your union's not more powerful than God.
Amen. Almost like false doctrine, isn't it?
But you see, hey, when you get scolded at work, won't you be quiet? Take it. Just take it. Won't you say, yes, sir, I'll work harder? What's wrong with having a good attitude? You say, but I was scolded for something I did not do, and that's not fair, just. Okay, since you're concerned about justice, then every time you break a shop rule, every time you do wrong, you go turn yourself in so you can be disciplined for all the rules you have broken. Or maybe you'd like to say, you know what? I'm getting in a little bit of trouble here. I don't really deserve it, but I think I'll keep my mouth shut because I don't want to have to turn myself in for all the misbehaviors. I don't think you're interested in justice. I think you're interested in you.
We live in a proud, arrogant society. Don't be a complainer. Don't be a complainer at work. Don't talk about your pay rate and your raises to everybody else. Let me tell you something. If the only way that you can get a pay raise is to gripe about what everybody else is making, you can think you're King Tut having that attitude. But the truth is, when you look yourself in the mirror, you know what the truth is.
Earn your own raise.
Can I tell you something? If this makes you mad, you're probably lazy.
If right now you're steaming, I'm glad to know that any of your parts will warm up, bud. I said we've got to get up. We've got to show up. We've got to hurry up. Be smart to shut up. And for some of us, we need to grow up. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13:11, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. You know, be careful. Watch out for practical jokes that may cost you your work reputation. Oh, I'm not against you having a little fun at work, but you better make sure it's done right. I ran lathes, and they have a turret, and they advance themselves. They rotate, and we use coolant, and you had a little coolant hose, and each time that thing would rotate, it had another cutter. And if you set that thing up just right, a guy could open his door, and when he opened his door, the coolant would shoot right out at him, hitting. And if you could summarize it, sum up the guy enough, you could hit him right in the face, and when he pushed the next button, it switched, and the next one hitting, and it switched, and the next one hitting. Don't do that. And I did know how to make the machine talk to you. But we need to grow up. Hard work. You know, when I was growing up, you know what my daddy told me? Hey, you know what, Brother Osterman, when I grew up, my daddy said, son, don't stand around with your hands in your pocket all the time. He said, don't stand around with your hands in your pocket. He said, it's a sign of a lazy man. Most people that stand around with their hands in their pocket all the time probably have their hands in their boss's pocket too. When you don't work hard, it hurts your reputation. When you don't work hard, it hurts your church's reputation. Don't steal from your company by your childish wasting of time. Grow up. And don't hide from the boss. Oh. Oh. If you're the kind of little whiny baby that when the boss goes, you don't keep working. You still need your mama looking over your shoulder, don't you? This happens all the time. The boss will turn his back and people are kicked back. They won't do anything. That's wrong. That's dishonest. If you're going to go to work, go to work. Boy, if the boss leaves the shop while the cat's away, the mice will play. That's sad. You say, well, I'll tell you what. What we need is a Republican, or what we need is a Democrat. What we need are Christians to rise up and set the pace about the old-fashioned work ethic and not to be lazy and to learn to work hard. Grow up. Don't whine at work. When somebody gets what you want, don't be a whiner. Grow up and learn your job so the boss doesn't have to babysit you all the time. Learn to look for what needs to be done next. The boss gave you a job. You get it done. He doesn't come back around for an hour, so you stand there and wait. Your mind ought to be going all the time. You ought to figure out what needs to be done next and get after it. I remember my daddy said to me when I went to work in the first factory, he said, son, when you get the job, the boss said, dude, when you get it done, he said, if you can't figure out what to do, you grab you a broom. I said, Dad, wonder if there's no dirt. He said, you just get the elbows moving and you make it look like you're doing something. Don't stand around and earn another man's money being lazy. I'm glad my dad taught that. Grow up. Hey, push up. Push up. Exodus 17:12 says that Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, and one the other side, and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. There was a war to be fought, and Moses, he couldn't keep up, and there were some men that came along and said, we'll help you get the job done. It was a thing called loyalty. And I'll tell you something, there is a dearth of the thing called loyalty in the businesses of America today. You be loyal at work. Help your boss to succeed. God will see it. God will know your heart. And again, if you're so smart, you go get your own company. I'm going to tell you something. The minute you get your own company, you'll come back to Brother Owens and say, I want to hear that sermon again. I have all these people working for me. Our society is full of anarchy. Bunch of backstabbers in the companies and the offices and the businesses. Bunch of backstabbers in churches. Don't be a backstabber with your leader. You know, did you know something? It is dishonest for you to draw a paycheck from this church and for you to be a backstabber to the deacon board and to this preacher. You think we ought to pay you to be disloyal and to break the rules? It's not right. Get you an honest attitude. Or go get you an honest job. Build the boss. Lift him up. Lift him up. Be a follower of leadership, not a destroyer. I'm not saying to approve of their sin. But all else, you ought to be loyal. You ought to follow. You know, you may be the boss someday, and I'll promise you, you will reap what you have sown. You're going to reap what you sow. You know, you will think this my pride, and it is. Now, are you satisfied? I'm about to make a statement that is full of pride and arrogance. But you men that work on this staff, if you will work on this staff like I worked on the staffs I worked on, I'll be satisfied. Work. But those, well, where do we need revival in America? In the workforce. We need to start working again. You say, how do we do it, brother? I want you to get up in the morning. You show up at work. After you show up, you hurry up and you work hard. You shut up and work. You grow up and quit whining. You push up and get a good attitude and lift up the leadership. And you know something? I'm going to guess that you're going to see some success. You know something? There's one thing you can't work for that's worth having. Say, what is it? It's a thing called salvation. You say, is it free? To you. Somebody else worked for it. How hard they work? Well, 33 and a half sinless years. They worked the will of God perfectly. He said, I must work the works of Him that sent me. Jesus Christ followed every rule. He showed up on time every time. People say, well, you know, if the Lord does not come, let me tell you something. He's coming on time. It's already planned. He won't be a second late. You say, well, you know, well, whenever the Lord, I'm going to tell you, He already knows when He's coming. It's all settled. He'll be not a split second late, not a split second early. And He showed up everywhere He's to show up, did what He was supposed to do, obeyed the Father perfectly. He worked Himself to death. Because somebody had to pay for your salvation. And He did. And then He said, you know what? It's Monday morning. It's hard to get up. But I'm going to have to get up out of this grave. hard. I'm glad Jesus wasn't like you, you whiny baby. They want me to work. She said, I have a job to do. I'm going to keep the rules. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to exalt the Father. I'm going to pay the price. It's all going to be worth it in the end. And then when it came time, he was self-resurrected. He came up out of that grave and he sits in heaven today. And I'm going to guess, Brother Paul, Jesus' finances are just fine. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns all of heaven. He owns all the universe. And it didn't come free. It's works. The Bible says he works the works of God. And that's exactly what the Christians in America today need. They need to get back to a four-letter word, W-O-R-K. If you're not saved today, you got to get saved. It's a free gift. You just receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you are saved, probably some of us ought to get it together in the area of work, because work will help solve a lot of your financial woes. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed.